What was said at these gatherings was fairly the program already familiar as that of the liberals. Civil liberties, equality of all citizens before the law, more local self-government, and above all, an elected national assembly. And the majority favored a legislative body. Now, in a way, this liberal campaign might have fizzled out or even been crushed, because all these liberals had in mind at this point was passing resolutions, had it not been joined by workers and students in the streets, which was provoked by the ironic nature of history, by the government itself, which on January 9th, 1905, ordered troops to shoot at crowds of workers bringing a petition to the Tsar at the Winter Palace, a moment that became known in history as Bloody Sunday, and truly started what then was not just banquets and demands, but a revolution. The genesis of this particular march is a rather bizarre story, though it has history-making consequences and worth pausing over. Beginning in 1901, the government developed a rather interesting strategy to deal with the growing labor movement. They decided to establish, under the control of the secret political police, which was called at the time the Ochrana, special legal labor organizations. All other unions were illegal. And the purpose was to woo workers away from contacts with political radicals and encourage them to solve their economic problems peacefully, without strikes, and without talking about more radical democratic changes. One of these organizations, established in St. Petersburg in 1904, was headed up and organized by a priest, working also for the secret police, named Gheorghe Gapon. And his organization, which became known as the Assembly of Russian Factory Workers, was phenomenally successful. Thousands of workers in branches all over the city. At first, they mainly gathered to talk and drink tea, but it made clear that the leaders of this movement cared about their economic conditions. And at a certain point in December 1904, amidst growing strikes among workers, many of whom were members of the assembly, Gapon decided to organize a major march to the Tsar to express workers' grievances. This march took place on January 9th, 1905, with Gapon leading tens of thousands of workers to the Winter Palace carrying a petition. Now, in a certain sense, this was all a very traditional act. The petition appealed to Tsar, to the Nicholas II, as father of his people, as Tsar Batyushka. And it began with words like this: "We, the workers and inhabitants of St. Petersburg, of various estates, our wives, our children, and our aged, helpless parents, come to thee, O sire, to seek justice and protection. We are impoverished. We are oppressed. We are treated with contempt." They carried pictures of the Tsar. They carried icons, they carried banners borrowed from churches. But the content of what they asked for was in many ways less traditional. They demanded not only that the state intervene to improve working and living conditions, which could be seen as a traditional appeal to Tsarist paternalism, but they also included in their petition a demand for civil liberties, freedom of press, speech, assembly, belief, unions, strikes. Plus, they called for the election of what they called a pre-parliament, a constituent assembly, a body that would create a constitution and that should be based on universal, secret, direct, and equal suffrage, four-tail suffrage. The fate of this is well known. They were met not by the Tsar, who had left town, but by troops with orders to fire on the crowds approaching the palace. Hundreds were injured and killed, maybe as many as 1,000. In the weeks that followed, everything the government had feared came to pass. The number of strikes and strikers in 1905 was greater than all previous years of Russian history combined. The labor movement became more organized than ever before. Trade unions began to appear, paying no attention to the fact that they were illegal. And even new types of workers' organizations, councils of workers' representatives called Soviets, appeared for the first time. Workers' demands also became more political than ever before, in response to, in part, the devastating experience of January the 9th. Workers now increasingly said, "We have no Tsar. There's no Tsar, Father, if that's how he could treat us." And they demanded a constitutional republic and full civil liberties. This became commonplace among workers by the end of the year. And to press these various demands, workers' unions began publishing their own newspapers and completely ignoring the censorship laws, in a way showing the government's weakness. People were saying and doing what they want, and the streets were filled throughout the year with endless demonstrations. This was a disaster for the government's, from the government's point of view.